everyone, and welcome back to The Ambibulous, a show where we discuss a variety of topics regarding alcohol. From specific beer styles, distillation, the brewing process, wine, spirits, and even a history of certain liquor laws, there's a fascinating world to explore. On today's episode, we delve into the origin story of Mandan's very own Dialectic Brewing Company. Joining me today is Dylan Schaefer, owner of Dialectic Brewing Company here in Mandan, North Dakota. I am your host, Connor Brecky. Let's all raise a glass to the Ambibulous. Welcome back to the show, Dylan. Always a pleasure to have you. Today, you will be telling us your story, the history of how you and Dialectic Brewing became a thing.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk today a little bit about Dialectic Brewing Company, kind of our story and how we came to be. It is a story that I can get a little long-winded on, but I do think everything I have to say plays a pretty significant part in what got me to where I am today. So I guess I kind of want to start things off by saying I do not have any formal education in brewing, despite going to college for 7.5 years. None of that was for anything related to brewing beer. That being said, I do think my college experience did still have an impact on me opening up Dialectic Brewing Company. So first off, we do have, apart from me, we do have two other owners. It's me, my wife Hannah, and then my older brother Jake. So we are very much a family affair here at Dialectic Brewing. And we kind of have our own little niche spots that we do in the business. What kind of led us into starting a brewer, I guess, is back in 2013, I had the opportunity to, both me and my wife, we had the opportunity to transfer to the University of Oregon. At the time, we were going to undergrad in Minnesota. And with our GPA and everything else like that, we had the opportunity to transfer out to the University of Oregon and get our in-state tuition and everything. And we, at the time, we were doing a significant amount of moving and exploring and stuff. So we figured we'd take that opportunity and move out there. So when I moved out there, it was kind of my first experience in the craft beer world. And in a couple ways, for one, we moved into the Whitaker neighborhood, and within 5 blocks of our house, there was probably, I think it was 5 brewery tap rooms within 5 blocks of our house. So as far as beer goes, we were surrounded by craft beer. And on top of that, I was working as a DSP, a direct support professional. And one of my clients at the time, one of the local tap rooms employed him to clean up the tap room during off hours. We would come in and wipe tables, put chairs up, mop floors, that type of thing. So I got kind of a unique experience assisting him in his job in a local tap room. And I, having never had craft beer before that, when Hannah and I had time off work, we would venture around town, take a walk, and poke into some of these little local breweries. And that's really where I kind of fell in love with the brewing industry and the brewing culture. I got to realize all the different options that were available for beer. I mean, growing up in Mandan, North Dakota, before I moved away here, there wasn't anything for craft beer. You know, in my mind, beer was just all your basic domestic beers. So living in Oregon was kind of my first experience with the craft beer world. I fell in love with the taproom culture and all the different varieties that were available for beer. And so that kind of started my journey down craft beer. It was after we lived in Oregon for a year, I'd been pestering Hannah for quite a while that I wanted to get into brewing beer just as a hobby because I was intrigued by all the variety out there. And so I had pestered her for the better part of a year about getting into brewing beer. And we didn't have a whole lot of money or a whole lot of time. And when we wound up moving back to Minnesota for a while, right when we moved back, she got me some home brewing gear for my birthday. And from there on, I kind of dove into that hobby head first. I went in hard on home brewing beer, and I had a lot of fun with it because I got to see all the experimentation and everything involved. So I was back living in Minnesota and home brewing beer. And after about 3 or 4 months of home brewing beer, I got my first opportunity to work in more of a professional setting in a brewery. And at the time, Junkyard Brewing Company out in Moorhead, Minnesota, had just opened up their tap room. They had been operating a brewery prior to this, and they didn't have a tap room. They would do just growler sales on the weekends out of their brew house. And they had just recently opened up a tap room, and I, of course, was frequenting that tap room anytime I had free time, and talking with one of the owners one night, and I had had a few beers and got up to use the bathroom, and Hannah did a little bit of soliciting me. And so she, after talking with one of the owners for a while, I came out of the bathroom, and Dan had mentioned to me, one of the owners, he goes, "Hey, Dylan, Hannah mentioned that you might be looking to get into the beer industry. Do you want a job?" And I couldn't hardly turn that down. I was super excited about it. I had a couple beers in me. So I, of course, agreed right on. And he invited me to come in on Monday and fill out paperwork and start the job. So,
and that's where the adventure officially began.
Yeah, that's where the professional adventure began. And so I was working at Junkyard pretty much for the remainder of my undergraduate degree. I worked mostly doing taproom serving and stuff like that, with a little bit of assistant brewer stuff back in the back of house. And it was kind of a sad day when I graduated college and was going to be moving out of Moorhead, Minnesota. I got accepted to grad school in Ohio. Both me and my wife got accepted to the same school with full funding. We kind of decided that we would move out to Ohio and do grad school. All my professional education is in sociology. Doesn't really apply to beer, but the opportunity of moving to Oregon, going to undergrad in Minnesota, these are all opportunities that I took because I was in college, and they introduced me to some of this craft beer scene and this craft beer culture. While Hannah and I were still in Moorhead and I was still working at Junkyard, we had talked a little bit about how we kind of like the beer industry and we would prefer to stay working in the beer industry as our careers. But when we got our full funding offer for grad school, we decided that's another opportunity to move, and they're paying for us to go to school, so we might as well head out there. So it was a sad day. We packed up. I left Junkyard and we moved out to Bowling Green, Ohio, where I was going to grad school. And it wasn't, of course, it wasn't too long of us living in Bowling Green, and a little local brewery had opened its doors. I want to say opening week was like 2 weeks after we moved to Ohio. So we popped in there for their kind of big opening celebration, their grand opening and everything, and had a few beers. And it was a really, really small place. I think at the time it was a 3/4 barrel brew house. So really, they were brewing a little over one keg of beer per batch. And it was a one-man show. It was just the owner who was doing all of it. And so we hung out and had some beers and got chatting with the owner for a while. And I mentioned that I was a home brewer and talked about his beers and his recipes and the stuff I was working on as a home brewer. And he invited me in to kind of brew a test batch of beer, kind of guest brew a batch of beer on his system. And I took the opportunity because I hadn't really brewed on much other than my home brew equipment before that. Apart from doing some equipment cleaning and stuff at Junkyard, I hadn't done full brew days on commercial equipment, even though it was pretty small commercial equipment. So I took him up on that opportunity and showed up. I think it was 2 days later, I showed up to brew a batch of beer. And oddly enough, when we talked about our Helpful Shepherd, our Wee Heavy, the first batch of beer I brewed at that brewery in Ohio was a Wee Heavy. I thought that it showcased my brewing abilities quite well, and I brewed that batch of beer with him, and he put it on tap and served it. It went over really well with his customer base, and he offered me a job to come on as his assistant brewer. And of course, I didn't bat an eye, and I took that job right away, despite the fact that my grad school had a stipulation that if I was getting stipend money from the college, I wasn't allowed to have an outside job. But I just kind of ignored that stipulation and took the job anyway.
I'd say that decision worked out perfectly.
I won't complain about it. Yeah, and so I got brewing beer there and working as an assistant brewer, and before too long, I mean, a matter of weeks, the owner had kind of wanted to focus a little bit more on the business side of things. So he asked if I would step up and just take over all the brewing and become the head brewer. So that was my, I guess, my first full-time gig as an assistant brewer, and it quickly transitioned to my first full-time gig as a head brewer. And with how small the system was there, I brewed a lot. I was brewing 3, 4, 5 days a week just to keep the tap room supplied, and we were only open Friday, Saturdays. And there were plenty of Saturdays that we would sell out of beer by 6 o'clock, and oh, sorry guys, we're closing at 6. Come back next weekend, we'll have more beer ready. And so over the course of me being there, we had stepped up the system quite a bit. We went from a 3/4 barrel brew house to a 1.5 barrel brew house. And then from a 1.5 barrel brew house to a 1.5 barrel brew house with all 3 barrel fermenters. So we turned them into double brew days. And then before I left Ohio, we had stepped up to a full dedicated 3 barrel brew house. So again, not a very big brew house here at Dialectic. I'm brewing on a 7 barrel, but it was a good experience to get used to that commercial equipment.
Yeah, you got to see it evolve too.
Exactly. You know, learning how to grow and where the right place to spend money and kind of grow into it was a very, very valuable resource. And so that had a good contribution. And again, this whole time we were in Ohio, me and my wife, Hannah, were talking, bouncing around the idea of opening up our own brewery. And we decided that we really wanted to bring our talent and bring what we had to offer back to our hometown. Both of us were raised here, graduated high school here in Mandan, North Dakota. And we figured if we were going to open a business, we wanted to bring a little bit of that culture back to Mandan. So we had, while we were in grad school, when we'd come back to Mandan to visit my parents and stuff, we kind of started looking at spaces and just getting an idea of what was out there, what was going to be available for us if we wanted to open up. And at that point in time is kind of when we started really developing our business plan, getting a good plan ready to approach investors and things of that nature. So it was actually right before I finished up my master's degree. We had a line on a building, the building that we are currently sitting in right now. And we kind of decided it was time to pull the trigger. The business plan was ready to go and start presenting. There was a building kind of sitting here waiting for us. We knew the guy that owned the building, and he was looking forward to us moving in. So he kind of had pulled it off of the market and was just waiting on us. And we figured it was just a good time to pull the trigger. And it was around that time, that we were in Ohio that I had started talking with my older brother about my plans for the business. And he was very, very supportive of it. He had a full-time job himself. He is a water quality specialist. All his degrees, his master's certificate, everything is in microbiology. On top of that, he's a little more business oriented than I am. So he had mentioned that if Han and I wanted, he'd be willing to jump on board with us and be a business partner as well. We kind of made the agreement that it was going to be kind of me and Hannah running the show. Jake would do some of the behind the scenes work, and he'd help me anytime I had some chemistry questions that popped up. He's the hard science guy for sure. So we'd started making those plans kind of as a family unit. And when the building was right, when the time was right, we loaded all our stuff up and we left Ohio and moved back here. And it wasn't long after moving back here, I think we came back here in, it was late November of 2016 when we moved back to Mandan here. And we'd found the building, we'd negotiated the lease on the building, we had found the appropriate money we needed to get off the ground. We started ordering equipment, got all our LLC paperwork up and rolling, and all the kind of technical stuff that needed to be done before we could really start work.
All the boring stuff you have to have.
Yeah, all those permits and, I mean, filing for, you can't touch any of your brewing equipment until you have a TTB permit. At the time when I applied for my TTB permit, my federal brewer's notice, they were quoting, it was a 9-month wait time on your application. And in order to apply, you had to have an address. You'd either had to submit a copy of your lease or a deed to the building where the brewery was going to be located. So there was just kind of a lot of timing issues and stuff like that that we had to get ironed out. And finally got most of those timing issues ironed out. We got the keys to our building and we just absolutely tore into it. We had about, I would say it was 11 or 12 months of extensive remodeling, and we got the building to pretty much how you see it now. We're still plugging away on things here and there. And that kind of is what brought us to this point in running the brewery. And if you remember back from our first episode that we did where we talked about our helpful shepherd, our Wee Heavy, that is, I had mentioned that recipe is very, very close to my heart. The second beer I ever homebrewed as a homebrewer was a Scotch Ale. The first one I brewed at Bowling Green Beer Works was the brewery I was at in Ohio. That was the first beer I brewed there was a Scotch Ale. And I've kind of just been tweaking and perfecting that recipe since I started homebrewing back in 2013, 2014. And it was when we got opened up here and we kind of wanted to get, I wouldn't say a flagship beer because we only brew it once a year, but kind of an iconic beer that we have to offer. We really thought that the Wee Heavy exhibited my brewing skill very, very well. And it also helped tell our journey in the beer industry. And for that reason, the beer got to carry mine and my wife's namesake. So my name is Dylan Schaefer. My wife's name is Hannah Hilfer. When we got married, we both hyphenated our name, so it became a big German mouthful of Hilfer Schaefer as the last name. And in German, Hilfer translates to helper, and Schaefer directly translates to shepherd. So we thought that the beer that I think I brew best and that we all love, we thought it would be a good one to carry our namesake. So it became the Helpful Shepherd Wee Heavy. And again, it was just a really great way to tell our beer story in a single beer and in the single name of a beer. And so that's really what brought us into the brewing world. And, you know, there's still things that I think sometimes we're in over our head on, but we keep plugging away and keep making it work. So
you guys sailed right through the unfortunate time during the whole pandemic too.
And I'm so thankful for our customer base for that. I know there's folks that did not fare as well as we did during the pandemic. And I think there's a couple things to thank for that. When we first opened, we had an agreement that we wouldn't be paying ourselves for 3 years, whether the business was profitable or not. If the business was going to be profitable, instead of paying ourselves, we wanted to have a nice money cushion in case something did happen. And on top of that, we just wanted to continue to invest in the building and in our business. We did, in my opinion, we started this business on pretty much a shoestring budget for starting a 7-barrel brewery and tap room. And I'm not afraid to mention it. We started out with $160,000 is what we could scrape up to start the business. So by the time you buy equipment and you totally renovate a building and fill it with tables and chairs and beer and faucets and everything that goes into getting this place up and running, it was a little bit of a shoestring budget. So there's still stuff that we're kind of working on as we go, but we really wanted to be kind of fiscally responsible with our money in those first few years. So we had some opportunity to grow yet. And I think that coupled with the fact that we had just unending support from our customer base is really why we could make it through this tough time. I mean, we had people that a lot of business was North Dakota had a shutdown order starting. Unfortunately, it was my wife's birthday. So we normally, and my wife's birthday is St. Patrick's Day, so we always have a good beer drink and celebration for her birthday. And it was starting at close of business on St. Patrick's Day. We had to then be closed for any in-house sales after that. And so that was really unfortunate. Thankfully, we had gotten our crawler machine up and running. We had just gotten in a huge shipment of cans. And we were pretty well stocked up to handle some off-sale business. And the state allowed us to continue to run curbside to go off-sale orders. We just couldn't have anyone drinking in-house. So our customers were so supportive of that. They got more and more beer every time they came in. And I mean, we were burning through pallets of cans in a week. You know, it was great. But I really, really got to thank our customer base for helping us through that hard time. And things are easing up now. You know, we still have some stipulations and we have definitely limited seating and a little bit on limited hours and stuff. But we're hanging in there and business seems to be picking back up anyway from those COVID times. So,
yeah. And this place has a really awesome fan base too. You know, every time I come in here, it's like, oh, hey man, welcome back. And customers are always talking about, I want to try this and, oh, we can recommend this. It's just a really good vibe. You know, some places you go into and you don't really feel like you belong there. Or it's got kind of an off feeling. I think everyone's been to a place like that. It's always feels like home here, no matter what time of day, no matter when. You've got a really great place here.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, Connor.
Oh, and I mean it. Mandan's really needed something like this for a while.
And we do really strive for that. Me and my wife, Hannah. So Hannah is the president of the company. She runs all business affairs, all front of house work. She coordinates what I am supposed to be brewing and when I'm supposed to be brewing it. I'm the back of house guy. I make the beer. And then Jake does our behind the scenes stuff. Apart from that, both Hannah and I, we do all the serving shifts. Occasionally we have some part-time help here and there. But if you come in here to drink a beer, you'll see me and Hannah behind the bar pouring that beer for you. And we really take pride in that customer interaction that we get. And I always want to hang on to that side of things because it does just create such a wonderful environment. And I mean, on most days of the week, I know probably 85-90% of the customers in here on a first name basis. It's a good group of regulars. They're super supportive and we're really appreciative of that.
So in a previous episode, we talked about people who really don't know much about the craft beer industry and drink kind of the name brand, box brand stuff. And you're always talking about beer. You're always talking about some aspect of beer, be it the hops and the flavor profile. And you're always, you know, asking customers who come in who are kind of wary of what they want about, all right, well, what do you normally like to drink? And then if they don't really drink beer, then you go in depth at other flavor profiles like, you know, are you a tea drinker? Do you drink coffee? Trying to give them a good fit for what you have on the menu. I remember when I first came in here, I started listening to you talk about alcohol, beer, you know, all this stuff. And I was just like, wow, this is really informative. We should do a podcast. And then so came this.
Yeah. And if you get me talking about beer, I can get down some rabbit holes. That's for sure. Hannah always jokes that she has to come and pull me away from customers sometimes because they'll ask a simple question. And pretty soon I've given a little bit of a long-winded explanation to that question.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, I should have recorded that. Now we are.
And now we are, right?
Now, going back to your sociology education, I believe the brewery's name Dialectic has something to do with that.
It does. That's correct. So again, while we were studying sociology, there was a pretty heavy overlap with social theory and philosophy as well. And so our name, Dialectic Brewing Company, we drew from some of Hegelian philosophy, really. And the Hegelian dialectic. And what that really boils down to is just the way I like to put it is it's the art of discussing the truth in your opinions. So it's about coming together with people, having a civil, reasonable conversation. If Connor, if you and I disagree about something, instead of us arguing or fighting about that thing, let's just have a discussion about it. Let's see why you believe what you believe. Let's see why I believe what I believe. And we can kind of navigate that interaction based on that. And that's kind of the environment that we wanted to create and why we named the place Dialectic is because we really wanted to create a place where community members could get together, sit down over a pint and talk to each other. Sometimes I feel like in today's day and age, we've lost that human connection a little bit. And I just like to offer people a place where they can come in and get that human connection and experience that dialectical method right here while they sit and have a beer. And on that note, you know, we don't have a tap room full of TVs. You won't find a TV anywhere in here. We play some light music in the background and let people hang out and talk to each other. I mean, people are everything in this world. And if when we lose that human interaction and that human connection, it can be unfortunate. So we wanted to create a space for people to get that. And we figured that Dialectic was the perfect name to embody that.
Yeah. And that's going back to how this place feels, that tight knit, family friendly, you know, minus the kids feeling to it. I mean, it's a brewery, so you can't really bring kids in here. You know, get a mix of complete strangers coming in here. Well, actually, most of them are regulars, so they don't know each other anymore.
That's so true. And we have customers who came in, showed up one day, bellied up to the bar by themselves, and pretty soon someone that they had no idea who it was, a complete stranger, came and bellied up to the bar next to them. And the next thing I know, they're making plans to come in again next weekend and have a beer and sit and talk with each other. So that, I mean, that's incredibly rewarding to me. That's the reason, apart from loving beer and loving the industry, we opened this business so people could get together and experience those things with each other. And I'm really happy to see when that does happen.
And pre-COVID, we can just forget last year happened. you did have some pretty awesome Mug Club get-togethers for all your Mug Club members out here.
Yep. Yeah, we do. We do kind of a yearly Mug Club membership. So you sign up, you're once a year. $100 gets you membership in the club, and you get discounts on beer, discounts on off-sale beer. You get a little bit more beer with each pour. And then we have some private parties and stuff like that where those mug clubs can get together and play games and chat and just have a good time, get to know each other.
And speaking of private parties, you have a lot of people coming in here asking to rent out the mezzanine area for weddings or get-togethers, business meetings, all kinds of stuff.
We've had a pretty big spectrum of folks, and having this mezzanine space is really nice because we can, if people want their own space for a private party, they can isolate up here on the mezzanine and not be involved with everything else going down on the main floor. And I mean, we've had bachelorette and bachelor parties. We actually have a wedding reception brunch coming up here this fall. That one's going to be a pretty low key event, but we've had wedding parties, bachelor parties, Christmas parties, retirement parties. I mean, you name it, and people have pretty much booked the space to do it.
Yeah, it's been a great thing for the community. And again, pre-COVID times, you'd have different events here. Like I believe on Tuesday was game night.
Wednesday nights. Yep. Wednesday nights was always game night. And
Tuesday was trivia.
Yep. Yep. And we're hoping to step back up trivia next month here. Again, we'll be a little limited on the number of teams that can participate just because we are limited seating right now. But our numbers have been looking better and stuff as far as COVID goes. So I think we're going to try to ease back into our trivia nights and stuff again and get a few more of those things going.
So some time has passed and we're now into the summer. And your guys' event schedule is starting to pick back up again. So we still have trivia on Tuesday. Wednesday is now, there's a local food truck. Mabel's All Day is usually here most Wednesdays now, which is great. And then you guys have some events coming up.
Well, and right now we actually have just one hosted by our other owner, my wife, Hannah. So she's hosting a succulent planting class. And then in addition to that, now that kind of restrictions have eased up a little bit, folks are getting vaccinated and things are getting a little bit more back to normal. We're just trying to step up on some events a little bit more and get people back out engaging with their community. So, of course, this summer we get our big stuff like the car show and the 4th of July festivities and all that stuff that happens right downtown in Mandan here. And then in addition to that, we'll be doing some more classes. We'll be doing some beer classes, some planting classes, because we're some plant fanatics too, and just generally speaking, we'll be able to get into a lot more events now with more capacity and some lifted restrictions on us.
And then if you're a Mug Club member, you got, you know, some potential upcoming Mug Club events. Actually, I don't think we talked about the actual Mug Club yet. Will you want to give us a rundown of what you need to do to get a hold of one of those?
Yeah, so we do offer a yearly Mug Club membership at Dialectic. Basically, $100 gets you into the club for your yearly membership. And that comes with some benefits on your standard 16-ounce pours. You get a 20-ounce mug instead of 16 ounces, so you get those 4 ounces for free. You also get $1 off your first beer every night, $2 off growler fills every Tuesday. And then you do get some invites to special events. We do private parties for our Mug Club. During the last year, they were a little sparse just because we couldn't really have any get-togethers. But again, now that things are getting a little more back to normal, we usually try to do about 3 or 4 big Mug Club parties every year where Mug Clubbers come in and we usually have one of our local food trucks set up and we play games and do beer trivia and drink plenty of beer.
And hopefully I can set up some recording for everybody too.
Yeah.
We can get a nice little group beer discussion going. That'd be kind of fun.
Get some beer tastings going. I know we've been trying to plan a few of those now that we're kind of, again, getting out of the pandemic season a little bit.
Yeah, it's been kind of a rough last year, but everything's, you know, it's getting better.
Definitely. It's looking up.
It's looking up. There's a lot of beer to be had, and there's a lot of people who want beer, and there's a lot of fun times and memories to make. So, Mr. Dylan, thank you so much for talking to us about your establishment here. And again, I always appreciate you co-hosting with me on these shows.
Yeah, I love being here. So,
always great to get some knowledge out for people. Alrighty, guys, that concludes our special episode about the story of Dialectic. Until next time, cheers.
The Ambibulous is made possible with Castos, giving creators the tools to connect with their audience and community. The music is courteous of Pond 5, with over 25 million royalty-free stock videos, music, photos, and sound effects. There's something for every creator. Today's content was recorded here at Dialectic Brewing Company in Mandan, North Dakota. I would like to thank Dylan Schaefer for the use of his facility and time to create this episode. And of course, a big thanks to all our listeners for all of your support. Until next time, cheers.